Now, I'm going to say again, we appreciate you being here this morning, and would like to share a few little thoughts with you. Having the word of the Lord in our hearts at this particular time is the greatest thing that we could have. I do not know of anything else so great as having the word of the Lord. First of all, Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and they are life." They are spirit, and they are life. There is no such words in the world aside from God's word that is spirit and life. But these words are life. From these words emanate life. And the way to reach that life or to make contact with that life that is within the radius and confines of this word is by faith. The Bible said God hath given us all things that pertain unto life through the great and mighty promises that he has given unto us. And to believe these promises is to bring them to life and cause them in their spiritual way to supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Now, why is the word so powerful? We say, well, it's just a printed page. No, the word is not a printed page. It's not something that we've cataloged in a book, though this is printed matter or form of matter characters that we printed to convey the word. But the Bible says that the word is God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. The word still is God, and the word shall forever be God. Because the word is the spiritual, invisible God. The great, mighty mind that was before the world ever came to be. And so then, this word is God. So we can understand how that when this word was made a human body and became the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was referred to as the Son of God, even the word made flesh, how that he could say, I am the Prince of Life, and I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant, which I remind you again means filled up and overflowing. So then this wonderful Christ, this wonderful word, this wonderful Jesus that we know and love, the wonderful Christ that went to Calvary for us, the Bible says that he was the express image of God. Well, that is the very given image and the only given image of God, the very likeness of God. We being made in the likeness of God, being made in the image of God, lost that likeness and lost that image through the fall of Adam by taking on another nature through the fall and found ourselves as people conforming to that of the fall in our first birth. So then all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and there's none of them good. No, not one. And so the blood cell that came from Adam was defiled. And inasmuch as the life is in the blood, then that meant that all people died from that defilement. You know, you get a disease in your blood and you're usually gone. But nevertheless, all die in Adam. One man sinned, and all of the world is under the penalty of death, sin and death. But through one man's righteousness, even the Lord Jesus Christ, God hath brought righteousness and life. He hath by him own self in the end of the world, that is Calvary, he hath done away with sin and hath abolished death and brought to light immortality. Well, that is, he's brought it to our understanding to where we can understand now that men don't have to be put in caskets. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed in the moment or twinkling of an eye at the last trump. So then we are predestined because of the revealed knowledge of the word and the great, wonderful, revelated mystery to reach a place to where men will not be put in caskets, but will literally be changed into their celestial bodies. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body, a terrestrial, there is a celestial. There is a corruptible, there is an incorruptible. And as we have borne the image of the Adam that first came as the corruptible, so shall we bear the image of the resurrected Christ, which is at the right hand of the Father, which is the incorruptible. So then, the last man, Adam, being made a quickening spirit, we know that we're preordained and predestinated and foreordained from the foundation of the world to reach this glorified image through the transformating of our mind. And right now, that is what God is doing for us. Now, I'd like to just refer to a scripture here in Matthew's. It's the 27th chapter and the 45th verse. And from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the world, or the land it is, until the ninth hour, which is something that I'd like to ponder on just a little bit, and I'd like for you to ponder on. But speaking of these things, we know that something is taking place, drastically taking place. I think some of you by now know that Rabin was killed over in Israel, and some of you are wondering what happened. Why did it happen? And of course, I would be the same way. No difference, you know, I'm just like all the rest. The thing is, God is good enough to let us know things that happen ahead, and he reminds us of different things that happen, that we might kind of keep tab on things and understand more as to a present day truth, what is taking place. And this way we're able to keep our bearings in God and find the right way. For unless we do know these things, then we get frightened and we get disturbed, because Rabin being killed is not going to be a little matter. And when they were talking about it, we mentioned that it could very well be an Israelite that killed him, because I said they were chiding with him not too long ago, and it would really point to an Israelite in killing Rabin. And this morning, whether true or false, I received the report that it was an Israelite, and they did catch him. It was a Jew, that is, as we say. So they did get him, they apprehended him, and of course, this is a real touchy situation when you get into the political field or say things, because everybody has you under the guns and they're watching. And yet we have to say something about it, because from the foundation of the world, the prophets were continually communicating with the kings and advising the kings, and the governmental orders of that day was set by God's time clock, that if a king didn't do right, God killed him and took him out of the way and put another. And when Israel did right, God gave them good leaders. And when they did wrong, he raised up leaders that really brought them to poverty and problems. For we learn obedience by the things that we suffer. And then when it comes to the final essence of the whole thing, God teaches us in his word that the sons of God are to be the government of all the world. For the government is upon the shoulders of the sons of God, and he is tutoring them right now, telling them the things that he wants them to know, to where they will have the mind of Christ when this thing comes about as to the ruling during the millennium restoration of all of those things that Satan has done away with or corrupted. So then we see Rabin killed, and we know that something is happening. Now, I would flip back a page or two, just thinking a little bit and reminiscing a little bit. You remember a flag from here was sent to Mr. Rabin, to that area. And do you remember that flag came back and the seal was broken here and the flag flew on your pole out here? Even though it was another flag that was taken into Israel, and different flags from here that went around the different parts of the world, of your flag, where it says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, that he should reign forever and forever, which is according to Revelation and according to the sounding of the last trumpet. So then we remember also that the flag went to Mr. Bush and went to Mr. Reagan, who wholeheartedly received the flag and gave us a response. So when we think about this, we also remember that I said that when the flag was not open and sent back, because the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was in big letters on the outside, not believing in the Messiah, not accepting it, it indicated a time that would be very bad for Israel. And immediately following that, the enemy flew their flag around Bethlehem. So when your flag came back, it was flown here. Now, which flag you still have? And with this, someone would say, what does this mean, Brother Pike? Well, it's like in America when they set their flag on a hill, on a piece of land or whatever, they take that piece of land. They claim that piece of land. And it has a great significance as to the way God works in allegorics. And when you think of Mr. Ravine being killed and that by his own people, one of the things that I think we're going to see is that the religious sect of people are going to rise up stronger because the dispute has been between the religious sect of people in Israel and the government. And having been there about eight different times, even as you've done purchasing a place there near David's tomb, and having been there during the time of Desert Storm ministering to those people, we have somewhat of an understanding of their feeling. And we understand some of their motivation. And seeing these things, that there is a great dividing, a place between them. There's something that's created a gap between them as to the government and the religious people. Then I feel that the strength of the religious side is going to prevail in such a way that the Jews are going to be drawn in more and more to their own individual way of life and their own individual decisions. And they're the kind of people that will die for what they believe. Sometimes our people are not too much given to that. But Jews feel that it's more honorable to die for what they stand for than to live in bondage and to violate God's way of life. And when it comes to Mr. Ravine, if you remember, I said, as he was coming in, I said, the next leader that they have will be a compromiser. Maybe you don't remember that. It's on tape. I said he will be a compromiser. And sure enough, when Ravine come in, he's compromised in every way. And I said, this will never do. Though it will look good as to make peace, and it will allow for this nation and other different people to bring them together to where it will appear that it's to give the Jews peace. And I think the man had some good intentions. But nevertheless, I said, this will not do because that is coveted land. That land is a covenant land. I said, and God, through Abraham, gave that precisely to the Jews. And they were not to allow anybody to take it or encroach upon their rights, whether it be America that tried to persuade them, or Russia, or any other country. They were not to listen to it. They were to give their lives for their land as to what God had given them through the covenant. But when this man came in, he began to compromise. And from one thing to another, he compromised until it looked like that he had brought the peace and brought exactly what they needed. Whereas the Bible said, and when they cry peace, then sudden destruction as a woman with travail. So then we look at it and we realize that he did compromise, but God wasn't pleased with it. It cost him his life. And of his own people, it cost him his life. So we can get some idea of the feeling of the people by this man doing what he did. Not only that, but Arafat, I understand, made the statement that it was very grievous to him as to his expressions that this man should be killed because they were friends. And Mr. Kissinger, I understand, pretty much said the same thing to the extent he had problems holding his composure when he spoke of him. And, of course, this seemed real strange that Israelites should be like that, because even Mr. Arafat said that he thought he would never find himself feeling that way toward an Israelite leader. But nevertheless, that's the way that it is. You know, we're in a compromising age, like I believe TVN, Paul Crouch, I believe it was him that got up and made the statement, from what I got the report on, that Mr. Arafat was a very fine man, a very religious man. He communicated with him. And somebody said that he carried the Bible in one pocket and he carried the Muhammad Koran or whatever in the other pocket, and said he believed in both of them, which is impossible. You couldn't possibly do that. See, that's nothing but confusion. There's no way you could believe in them. They're contrary. I go into the foreign countries and see Muslims converted to Christianity, and they're altogether different. So then I know that you couldn't do that, but nevertheless, that's what's being said. What kind of compromising age are we in? Now, Ravine compromised, and they lost some of their land that was covenant land. And now they are in great peril. Rather than being in a state of peace, they are in great peril now, because whereas the Bible speaks of the nations gathering around them, sure enough, everybody has gathered in for their spoil. And they've come in from different sides. The spoil is so that now that everybody wants a chunk of it. And since they have done what they've done to the Dead Sea down there, bringing forth all these minerals, then it is getting to be a wealthy place. Now, remember, with this, as to the compromising, if all of these nations come in around Jerusalem, it fulfills what Jesus said just before he left. He stood with tears, and he said, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thee, as a hen would her brood, but ye would not. Now your houses are left unto you desolate, until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he said, and the day shall come, when they shall entrench round about thee, and lay thee even with the ground, because you missed the day of your visitation. Now, when we look at it, we see America has missed the day of her visitation. Now we see the spiritual Israelite, and we see that America has done the same thing that Jerusalem did, or the Jews did, and now they've missed the day of their visitation for ball games and frolics, the Olympic world, and for buying and selling and money, and for education, and all the frivolous things that's really nothing, that they have to die and leave, that means nothing at all. They have missed out on their soul welfare and lost their soul in trying to gain the things of the world. And they've done nothing for God at all. And so then their whole life had been wasted in the frivolous, beggarly elements of the world. Jesus confronted them in his ministry when he was here. He said, is not your life worth more than meat? Have you ever considered the fact that having life is more than just feeding the belly? He said, or have you ever considered that your body is worth more than raiment? Just using up your body and health to obtain raiment to put upon it? Said, don't you stop to consider these kind of things? And then he said, seek ye the kingdom first. And all of these things is necessitated to life, even to the desire of your heart shall be given unto you. So then we find that when we consider these kind of things, then we're made to realize that what Israel has done in the natural is exactly what the religious people are doing in America as to the spiritual side of it. And you're taking coveted land, the land that's a covenant between you and God. God has covenanted with you with your body. And he has covenanted with you for all of your blessings of life, all that he has given unto you that pertains unto life, that it is to be his, and he's to bless it, and you're to be holy in body and in spirit. Paul said, I seek to present you body, soul, and spirit blameless. So you are to be holy, and yet you've compromised with Olympics. You've compromised with the wealth of the world. You've compromised with education. You've compromised with anything that distorts your mind and takes it away from the Word of God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you went hard after the world and the things of the world, and now you're dying and losing your soul as well as your health. And you're losing all of those things that you went after. See, the Lord one time was really upset with Israel, and he said, Israel, I've given you all good things, and now look what you've done. And he called Israel a whore. He said, you played the harlot unto every green tree, and I'm giving you a writing of divorcement. And said, I've given to you all the good things. He said, and you didn't honor me. He said, but you've opened yourself to everything that come by. He said, now, go to your lovers and see if your lovers will give you all the good things. I made you rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Solomon, under the leadership of God, gathered gold like dust because God made it to be like that. For God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas. From God emanates gold and silver and all the great mighty things of the creative act of God. And I've given you everything from the breath of life to sight and to hearing and to health and to happiness. I've given you the birds and the fish. I've given you all the beautiful things of life so that you can have everything that pertains unto life. I gave it to Adam and Eve and they lost it. Adam and Eve lost it. Death, sin, sorrow, poverty, heartaches came by man, not God. For he said, the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. And now we're told through the scriptures that death reigns in the body. And the sentence of death is in the body because of the transgression. And all flesh is corrupted its way in this none good, no not one. And Paul called it a body of death, saying, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That there's a continual warfare within me. And in my members, as to my senses, my human senses upon which I'm dependent for survival in this world, he said, I'm taken into bondage like a bonds child and into captivity because Satan is the god of this world and he's got control. And through the powers and authorities of the law and through the diplomacies of life, he rules with force and with the old tree of knowledge and has subdued and corrupted every good thing in the world. He has stripped down the ladies and made common prostitutes out of our daughters and our women, whether it be in the medical fields or whether it be whatever. He has constantly turned them into whores, and they now have no virtue. They don't care anymore. They think it's abnormal for you to even think of them as a lady. And as it was said when the first lady came in to the presidency not too long ago, she said, I don't want to be a lady. So then America has been known as a lady. God gave us this new world, as we call it, and all the good things of life. And the Bible said, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And now America's going down, down, and we're just listening to a tape this morning where we preached over in Virginia, I believe it was, or up near that area. I think it was the Carolinas just on this side of the Virginia line, there in Boone, I believe it was, and preached that we were saying that we spoke of America falling. And sure enough, immediately after we had said it, she fell to third place. And America's been continually falling. The nations respect her no more. She used to be the lady. She used to be the grandest thing in all the world. No matter where I travel, America was esteemed greatly and praised, but not anymore. She's mocked. I've been on the plains. I've read the papers in the foreign fields where they mocked America. I've been sitting at the tables when there was a conference and they mocked America. They mocked her leaders and spoke very freely of them and mocked them. Why? Because sin is a reproach to any people. And God had exalted us. God had lifted us up as a nation. But we couldn't stay away from the veil. Tinklets of the world, could we? Every little thing in the world, we've got to put our hands on. We've got to dabble around in everything of the world. When he said, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not those unclean things. They're under the curse. Come out and be a separate people and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. So then, ours is an integration. Integrate. Integrate with everything that comes along, from a prostitute to a robber. Integrate all nations, all people. Integrate, integrate. And God is saying, come out from among them. Israel, I made you a separate nation. I took you out of Egypt and away from science, falsely so called. And I've led you as a little child. And I've supplied all of your needs, and you never had to go hungry. I rained down manna from heaven, and I took care of you, and I gave you a commonwealth in the wilderness. No one's ever built one like it. I gave you great leadership and power and miracles and all the good things of life. I led you. And what have you done? You've turned to the star Rimfen and all of these things to worship the host of heaven. I've just given you up to let you worship them. And I've rejected you, and I've given you a writing of divorcement because you would not honor me and do the things that I ask you to do. So then we see the repeat of it with America and the spiritual Jew. We see this very thing happening, that the church world is going after everything but God and is substituted in every way the Bible and whatever, just taking it out and just substituting or bringing in something that's of the world. And as I said, our women folk and men just becoming, as the Bible said in the last days, a sinful and an adulterous generation. Somebody says, well, the youth are just renegades, and the Bible said that they're just a sinful generation. It didn't say the youth. It said the people. As to the people, the generation that would come would be a sinful, adulterous generation. It doesn't matter if it's elderly or if it's young. It's all the same. They're still parting. That's all they know, is parting and doing whatever they're going to do. And the compromising, as I said a little bit ago, on those things that we referred to. See, what is this? What kind of world is this? Why has Mr. Ravine gone out like that at this particular time? We just made the statement that it looked like it was right at the hour of the child being born. That America allegorically showing the woman and the impregnation coming from Israel as a salvation, being of the Jew, and all of a sudden the woman is to America the new world, having carried the child until now the travail was on. And the child was being born, and when the child is born, according to Revelation 12, all of a sudden it's caught up to the throne, and I'm speaking just a little bit spiritually here, up to the throne, and then the woman goes into the wilderness. And we could elaborate on that for hours just in the spiritual perspective as to Calvary and where we spoke about the darkness on the face of the earth. But anyway, when we speak of this, then we know that all of a sudden here we are and the child being caught up. That is to say, you that are spiritual, you that love God, you're beginning to be sealed in. You're not those that dwell in the earth, but you're they that dwell in heaven. God has taken your innermost angelic being and caught it up into his spirit and translated it into the spirit of Christ, that you dwell in heaven and not in the flesh. And you're not in the flesh as to your human senses. For if you was, you could not please God. You are in the mind of Christ. Was the Bible said, and let this mind be in you, that was also in the mind of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it was not robbery to make himself equal to God. And so then you're to have that mind that's in you as the same as it was in Christ. Therefore, the child being caught up and being sealed in at this time, then the carrying period of the woman is over. And look at the debauchery that has happened to her. Look at her. She stooped to be gays. She's come down to sodomites. She is a joke in all the world. And what's happening to her? She is in poverty.
She's gone bankrupt. She can't pay her bills. She can't meet her deficit. Plagues and accidents and problems. Oppressions, insane asylums are filling up. Wars, they can't get things stopped and straightened out anymore. It's a time of confusion. The beginning of sorrows. Sorrow everywhere. And the great hour of temptation that God promised to keep us from. Tempted in every way. Everything is alluring. Everything is enticing. A continual warfare between the body and the spirit. For all of the world is vanity and vexation of the spirit. And the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And it must pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then we look at this and we see the conditions of the world and the condition of the people. And we know that with all of their great philosophers, they've done nothing but crash up. All of their great science has proved to be nothing but just the wind that's passing by. And they left off with the Word of God that created all things and the Word of God that promised them life and health and hope and understanding. Even when Israel came out of Egypt, the Bible said, and the Spirit of God shall be upon you and make you of a quick understanding, and all of the nations shall be afraid of you. And God took them out of Egypt with their understanding and defeated seven nations with them and gave them a name like nobody in the earth and said, you're to be a separate people. Come out from among them and be a separate people. And he covenanted with them according to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of that which he had covenanted with them. He's not forgetful of those covenants. He said, ye sons of Jacob, you be glad that I don't break my covenant, said, or you'd be consumed. But I remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I've still spared you, even though you have gone away from my ordinance since the days of your father, and you have not kept them. So, folks, here we are in this day of frolic, a day when people don't have any backbone to stand up for anything. Wishy-washy, they don't have enough backbone to stand up to anybody or anything and have a conviction in the Bible. And most of the time, if you do find somebody that's going to stand up a little bit, they're so mixed up and confused that all they do is confuse everybody else when they get finished with what they're trying to say. Because they try to mix religion with philosophy, and you just find it's just one big problem. The Lord said, I would that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew out of my mouth. All of my tables are filled with vomit, he said, which means he has spewed the people out of his mouth because they're lukewarm. They're not going on with God, and they're not turning away to the world to the extent that they want to leave off with religion. But they want to mix religion with the world so they'll have a consolation in their soul and have more boldness to continue the frolics of the world. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then this is what's happening. And with this, we see Mr. Ravine going out. Which, as I say, we could go ahead and comment on this for a long time. Why is Mr. Ravine gone out? One thing is because it is to make way for Antichrist. If the carrying period of the woman is over, or is coming to that now, the child is ready to be caught up to the throne, which throne will be established in Jerusalem in the millennium, where Christ will sit upon the throne for 1,000 years. And if that be true, then that means Mr. Ravine going out is going to be like sheep without a shepherd. And as it was said in the days of Solomon, every man to his own house. And they're going to begin to think individually and religiously and turn to God because they see the crisis all around them everywhere they're fenced in. And that great hour is here. For Jesus said, when you see the armies of the world compass Jerusalem about, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And he told the Jews in his little conference with them over in Matthew's and the other places in the New Testament, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation that Daniel spoke of, the abomination of desolation, is nigh at hand. So then we see that these armies are moving in on every hand. And everything is just right now for Israel to go through something like she's never been through in her life, and the Bible said the tribulation will be so great that never before in the history of the world has a people endured or encountered such a thing. So we know that that time is here. It reminds me of two dreams that was had in the last day or two. As a matter of fact, I think Brother Micah's wife just had a dream, and in this dream, she spoke of the rapture taking place. The rapture, of course, the word being caught up is not a biblical term, but it is an application as to the Bible in that it is used as a catching up, because we will be caught up, changed first, so it can be besetting. But anyway, using the terms rapture, as she did, being caught up, that it took place and she only saw two families make it. I may have that wrong, but I believe that's what they told me. Now, I could correct that if they tell me different later. And then there was another one, and his wife, she had a dream or a night vision. And in this dream or night vision, she saw everything turn so dark and said there were so many demons and so many devils until you couldn't even call the name of Jesus. Said it was so strong that you couldn't even call the name of Jesus anymore. And said, in this, even trying to play a tape that was a religious tape of what was supposed to be right, she said it wouldn't even play. It tore up. Other things you could play, but not that. And then one of them said, and it was seen as the people and the tormentors closed in to take the children and started to torturing the people's children right in their presence. And they were crying and torn up. And this girl said that she also saw their dog die, which was unusual for something to happen like that. But in a few days after the vision, the dog was killed and did die. So evidently God was saying, I want you to know that this is from me. So I'm telling you that the tribulation is laying right in there on us. And even Mr. Ravine's death indicates this darkness, which I'm not elaborating on this morning, but maybe when I get a chance I will, as to darkness from the sixth hour unto the ninth hour over all the earth. I wished, or over the world. I wish that I had time to go in that from a religious perspective and a revelational perspective to take hours to break it down, how it runs all the way from the beginning of the world and before the world was over to the book of Revelation and bringing in the new wonderful age. But nevertheless, just saying these few little things this morning, a scattered remark that we can have them on tape to refer back to, and something that might stimulate you a little bit toward your walk of life in Christ, I tell you these things. So then, if you remember the flag, as I said, come back, which had great significance as to a shifting. And when I say this, I'm not elaborating on those things because we have tapes here where we brought out messages in part. And there are different places where we spoke of what it had to do with. And maybe later we'll comment a little bit and bring out some more things concerning these to put them together to where you can better understand what the whole thing points to. But it's a good time to remind you that if you're not going on with God and you're not living an overcoming life, that you need to get ready. Because when the rapture takes place, you're going to go out quick or be left just that quick and it'll be over. That quick. We'll be sitting right here if it was so. And then all of a sudden, before you can blink your eye, the change has taken place and the others are left. So then, it's a good time for you to think it over and a good time for you to try to press in and get right with God. Everyone is on death row and they're waiting their time. Whether you be young or whether you be old, you will go by the way of the grave and you will die and death will come for you. And unless you've made things right with the Lord Jesus, and I don't mean just belonging to a church, but I mean being right with the Lord Jesus and being born again, you will be lost. The only proof that you have of your sonship in God is the spirit of holiness. The Bible says, and Jesus Christ was proven to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness. And without His Spirit, that you're none of His, for He is the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit, being the Spirit of holiness, you will have the fruits of holiness and the end thereof, everlasting life. And if you don't have the Spirit of holiness, you don't have God's Spirit, and you're none of His, and you're not born again, and you will not make the change. You will go into the dark regions of the doomed and damned, and you will go into the flames of the fire. And the only thing that is between you and that fiery place right now, or paradise, is one little breath of life. So then, if you want to be born again, you can get off a death row, pass from death unto life. But if not, then you just patiently wait for the grim reaper. He will come for you. And it's not like seeing television and reading about people who die. It's different. When you go to die, it's different. It's not a fanaticism anymore. It's not some exciting thing anymore. It's a deep, grave sorrow. Something that tears you into bits when you think of the desolation of your life and going into the flames of the fire, where you'll never have another drop of water, never have another good thing. Everything that pertains to life is gone. Everything. There is nothing left. God takes away from you everything because He is life, and from Him emanates life. Well, let's stand together. I'll ask them to come back to the organ and the music here. Stand together. I appreciate you coming and appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time. And I hope that a few things have been said to stir you just a little bit. We've not tried to get very deep this morning into the revelational things of God. We just said a few surface things that might inspire you or might convince you toward trying to do something for Christ before it's too late. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Like a brother that came from California not too long ago, a very fine brother, and he is a very notable person in the areas of California, and he was just talking like he wanted to do something for God, but he kept putting it off. And I was telling him, I was exhorting him to this end, don't put it off. Don't procrastinate, because, see, you have no plans for tomorrow so far as God is concerned. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself, for the evil is sufficient unto the day thereof. But the thing is to remember you have life this day, and this day do something for God. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do something this day for God. You'll find out that all the paths have got a peace, and you'll be happy that you did. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, doth rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild, stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. I need thee, my Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he hath come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause. On that eternal day, listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice. Don't turn him away. There's a place that's just across the Jordan River, and it's a place of everlasting joy and peace, where the tree of life is blooming there forever. And the Savior Jesus Christ shall be with me. That sounds like home to me, like where I belong to be. There the tears will never dim my eyes again. And the hills will echo with the story of his love, and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home to me. Can you sing it with me? That sounds like home to me, like where I belong to be. There the tears will never dim my eyes again, and the hills will echo with the story of his love and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home to me. You know, we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. And we really, really need to remember that if you're not right, you will be left like the young lady's dream. You know, there's three kinds of dreams. One is called a filthy dreamer. so you can have filthy dreams, which comes from Satan and the mind of Satan. There's three minds that uses your one brain, and that mind of Satan uses it because you are subject from the fall, and the creature's been made subject to vanity. And then there's another kind of dream that the Bible speaks of that comes from the multitude of business, where you're so busy through the day and doing all kind of things that you go to bed at night and you can't really rest. You just dream and toss and tumble, and you get a dream from the activities of the day. That is your angelic or spiritual being that's using your brain. And then there is the third, which, as Daniel of old said, I dreamed, and the vision of my head troubled me. That dream was from God in the mind of Christ using the brain, and that was a vision from heaven. And these two dreams that the girls have had lately sounds like visions from heaven, like it's God confirming some of the things that we said. And you want to be sure that you're ready. You want to be sure that you're ready. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call that set of sun. Can you sing that with me? Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. In memories now, I can see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. For the banquet table is ready up in heaven, and it's supper time upon the golden shore. Oh, come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows on a thing named. Oh, come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Let's just lift our hands up together and sing this little chorus. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give glory, all ye people, for the blood that's washed away. Sing that with me. Oh, can you lift your hand? Close your eyes. Can you praise the Lord? Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. The Lamb for sinners slain.